health care reform back in June of 08. And I actually focused on Big Pharma. I'm an investor, and that's the name for the 8 or 10 or 12 major pharmaceutical companies in America. And believe me, they're not the government. They are managing to arrange to have kids diagnosed as being needy for mood-altering drugs, and in many instances, adult antipsychotic drugs right now. These statements are so outlandish, I'm sure people are saying, what is this guy doing? But they're facts, and you can Google children-antipsychotic drugs. You'll get 5 million hits. It's happening in our country right now. We have a kid act out or misbehave, and the first thing you need to do is perhaps look to the parents and see, are they controlling the children? But not in this nation. First thing we now do is probably march the child down to the nurse's station, and there's a very good chance that kid will wind up on Ritalin or something worse.
And I look at this, and I agree with you, and we see it a lot. I think the problems with that are starting to show itself more and more. Mike, I'll tell you what, speaking of soccer again, I got to go back to it. My wife is a coach. She says she loves attention deficit kids because they will work a mile for you, man. They're excited. You give them a little affirmation, and they will work as hard as anything on this planet. And she just figures that some of these ADD kids are just kids with lots of potential that nobody knows how to support that. And, of course, we've got some kids that would probably be put in the normal system, be put on drugs. And just fortunately, instead of giving them drugs, we just got the kid educated quickly. So, you know what I mean? Here, kid, have a little calculus. That'll calm you down. So
well, the numbers are stunning. It's on my document, in my document, and I don't remember the percentages, but it's something monstrous. 10 times as many kids as in 99 at the end of the study in 04 were placed on mood-altering drugs.
It says here 40 times.
Pardon?
40 times. I'm looking at your article.
And by the way, we had some drugs that did work. This is the kind of stuff that's going on in corporate healthcare America nowadays. We had a half a dozen drugs that did the job when you needed to give kids adult antipsychotic drugs. They did a pretty good job, and they didn't have too many rough side effects. Well, guess what, David? The patents ran out on these drugs, and a few of the formulas were changed, and Big Pharma then started producing drugs that were still on patent, and instead of the pills costing a nickel, they ran as much as $12 to $14 a pill. Now, the kids were then placed on, millions of kids were placed on these antipsychotic drugs. Kids who were diagnosed as ADD or just acting out, whatever it is it took. And some of the side effects, I won't take the time, but they're grotesque.
Right.
Boys growing breasts, lactating breasts,
yeah.
Things like this. It's frightening. And this is just one of the indications that corporate healthcare America is out of control in the United States.
Well, here's something you said. It says, for years it seems strange plague of mental illness descended upon the U.S., infecting mostly children, especially poor or black or foster children. Somehow over 800,000 of our kids were diagnosed as bipolar. So in other words, it was increased, you wrote here, 40 times as many kids. So that's interesting. It was a pandemic of bipolar that swept across America. Now, one of the things, again, that's why I said when you listed some of the kids that were, you know, the great numbers, what I think makes this problem, as I say, exacerbated is when you have a federal funding stream, a federal disconnected system, systemic, it's a systemic problem. And when you have this, you see what I'm saying?
You have hit the nail on the head. The kids that Big Pharma attacked were the most vulnerable kids in America. These were foster children. In many cases, they were 1 and 2 years old. These were orphans, kids on Medicaid or Medicare because they were disabled. And yes, it was government funded, but remember, these were private companies, and you have to read my article to see how they did it. But Big Pharma figured angles to manipulate the government funding. That's the secret here. We've got to find a way. And by the way, may I preface, the vast majority of healthcare workers, from what I studied, are fine and decent and wonderful human beings. It's that small handful that are bankrupting America as they brutalize our babies.
Okay, and we're gonna get to the good news, but before I go there, I want to, this issue about a single payer funding stream where we're going to force everybody to participate in the fund, making a larger funding stream single payer. So in other words, whatever medical stuff is given out is going to be paid by one pot, one very large pot, much larger than it is today. And I say that that is not going to solve the problems that you've described. But what we're going to do is, keeping that as my editorial thought, we're going to go to what you said. You listed on your article, healthcare reform, what you thought were those steps to fix a problem.
Exactly. First of all, my main contention is we must somehow strip control away from corporate healthcare America. The evidence of what Big Pharma has done to millions of our children in the past 15 years is frightening. And by the way, if the readers want to Google that, right now I believe every state in the union is suing Big Pharma in civil court for what they've done to children. Google it, you'll see it. I think 20 states are bringing criminal charges against Big Pharma's corporate executives.
And
these were the last figures.
And you know what? I got to stop you right there, Don, because guess what? When I was reading this, my crazy, you know, you've heard me say I do this from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong, that I see that a bureaucracy, creating a bureaucracy to turn, let's say, healthcare into a police state as if everybody is doing evil. So we're going to have basically healthcare martial law. I mean, that's the way I see it. When you give it to a bureaucracy, unaccountability, it's just kind of crazy. Now, what you've just described is what I think is the old school constitutional way to deal with this. If somebody does wrong, you take them in particular and hold them particular accountable, and that everybody else who is doing right is not treated like a criminal, and there will be some who get away with it. But, hey, it's appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. So what it is in the old school, original American way of dealing things, and in the biblical way of dealing it, you don't hold another man accountable for another man's sins. You hold the one accountable, and as I see him being sued or having criminal charges, to me, I'm like, well, good, that's exactly what's supposed to be done, not turn the entire thing into a police state. So what is your fix then? Now, you mentioned that as a bad, or you said that's one fix that's going on in the background. But go to your points that you made in your article about what the fix is.
Well, there's in the last part of my article, there's a 7-point program in that first article I ever wrote. And much of that program I outlined because for a period of some 15 or 20 years, the Boston University School of Public Health has worked on this issue as to how in the world are we going to take back control of our healthcare system and yet have it watched over in some way, shape, or manner so that the corruption that is presently about to bankrupt the United States can be stopped? And one of the methods is that we need to computerize everything. We need to know where every dollar is being spent. When a pharmaceutical company slips a Harvard professor $1.9 million in 2 years, and the Harvard professor is only supposed to be receiving no more than $10,000 from some situation like that, and we find that Harvard professor has been recommending antipsychotic adult drugs for a lot of children in America,
yeah.
One tends to put two and two together.
Right.
What you think?
They need to be in jail.
Well,
and they're going to get a judgment. They need the double whammy is what they need.
so many tens of thousands of situations like this is we don't have enough police. So we're going to have to computerize.
Well, I have a thought. Hold that thought a minute. I see that as a problem where you're spending federal dollars. When you're taking the power of the sword, taking monies and spending it on federal dollars, and somebody's corrupt like that, and that's when the police state needs to kick on that one person and track those federal dollars. I don't doubt that. But when you've got a private doctor who's, you know, with if there's a point where you can't engulf everybody in America over a, you know, through a single payer system kind of thing. But that's
we have a serious problem though. At the present, with the present state of affairs, you probably read in my article, the largest group of lobbyists, guess who hires them? The healthcare industry.
Okay.
So we're dealing with a situation where both sides of the spectrum, both conservatives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, they're all receiving vast sums of money.
Yeah.
And that's why the situation is so complicated.
Yeah.
And why we have to bring things out into the open. It may be the only way to stop the politicians from doing nothing.
Well, we're going to talk about your fix, this first one here. When you say computerize everything, now let's say it's debatable whether you're going to say computerize everything that federal government is involved in. Of course, if they're involved in everything, that means they're going to computerize everything. Does that mean that you're going to computerize me, that I cannot go in and get health care unless I render the number, and to make sure that I'm not committing fraud, I render the mark on my right hand or forehead or something like that? I mean, is that what you're saying?
No, good question, too.
Thank you.
Now, Boston University's excellent School of Public Health says that you should be treated by a type of a group of doctors. Your treatment should be observed and administered and dictated by your local physicians. Call it a co-op if you want. But it doesn't. When you go in, all I want to happen, and all that Boston University wants to happen, if somebody says you need 6 CAT scans next month, that needs to be sent to a central computer station. We need to know the doctor that is ordering 90 CAT scans a week. We need to know why he's doing this.
Okay, hey, good comment. Hey, we're going to come back here, folks, on the Faith and Freedom Show. We're talking to Don Hess, who's got some fabulous commentary on this healthcare issue, on his healthcare article on thinkwecan.com. And we're going to come back and listen to all the fixes before we open up the phones. We shall return.